I'm Mike Wagner. I'm a projects reporter at the Columbus Dispatch, and I'm one of the team members who worked on the special section celebrating Jack Hanna's 40 years at the Columbus Zoo. I visited Jack Hanna at his home, the zoo, got to travel with him to Pennsylvania, and walked around with him at the Memorial Golf Tournament here in Columbus. Jack's one of the most interesting characters I've ever encountered in my 28 years as a reporter. Here's just a little bit of the tornado that is Jack Hanna. Ask you about your military today.
Well, my military is basically, I wasn't sent over because I was legally blind, which it sounds terrible to you maybe, but I had a wife and stuff, but I lost, well, I'll tell you more about it.
Sure.
I'm named after my mother's brother killed, my dad served under Patton. There was no discussion, you know, all of us wanted to go in the Army.
Because so you were in the Army, and what was your rank, and four years?
I was like a S4, whatever you call it, wasn't high up at all.
Okay.
No.
This was during Vietnam?
Yeah, but yes, yeah. but again, all of a sudden, I go to, you know, boot camp, Fort Jackson, West South Carolina, whatever it's called. On the firing lines, you know, you're using M16s and all that stuff.
Yep.
And I had my big glasses on. I mean, like Sue told me, looking at me, it was like looking at two Coke bottles. So anyway, it got to be, I think it was the fall when it was, when I was in the boot camp. And it got cool, you know, like September, it started getting cool in the morning, so my glasses would fog up. So, obviously, I couldn't see nothing. The bullets going everywhere, so I took my glasses off and kept on firing. And then at that point, I'm legally blind without my glasses. Have been since I was 5 years old. Then the bullets really went everywhere. That's an old, what's his name? Sergeant. I shouldn't remember his name, but anyway. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I know I'm not doing very well right now because, well, Jack, you were shooting pretty good here for a while. I know, but I can't see right now. Why can't you see? My glasses are fogged up. I take them off, I can't see." And I'm sure what he was thinking, I might say he said, I'm sure what he was thinking is he doesn't want to go, you know, overseas, he doesn't want to do something.
Did it bother you that he thought that, or people?
No, not really. I said, you know, losing Jack Ruggles, Chip Billington, Bobo Balaceras, four or five friends in Vietnam, you know, well, guess what? You're going to Fort Rucker, Alabama. What? It's a helicopter place there. You're going to finish your 6 months out there, and then I was in the, what do you call it, the...
Reserve.
Exactly, reserves.
So you're in the Army Reserves.
Yes.
After that, okay.
Yeah.
So they virtually wouldn't let you go.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because.
So it was a medical.
Yeah, they got, like I told you, I couldn't see it. They said, well, go see the eye doctor. You got.
And you weren't drafted. You joined, right?
Well, basically, yes. I was basically going to be drafted. I knew it because what was happening. You know, my buddy's getting drafted. I said, well, I'll just go ahead and do the reserves.
Got it.
Not being afraid of not going overseas or anything else. I just. My dad served under General Patton in World War II. You can imagine what that's like.
Yeah. When I gave the commencement speech a year ago. So Julie went with me to it. And when we were there, we went to the John Glenn Museum, which was really his home. And maybe Jack told you that he used to go to that home every month to pay the rent check because John's mother was his landlady. So now it's a museum and you have a tour. And when we were up there, they showed the class picture of Muskingum. Everybody in the whole school's there for the class picture. Well, not even class, it's the college picture. And so John and Annie were in this picture. And the tour guide was saying to me, she said, "You're not going to believe this," and I had forgotten this. She said, "You're not going to believe this, but a lady came in here and said that she has the college picture when she was at Muskingum, and she said Jack Hanna was at the very end of the class picture with his donkey." I wish I had that picture.
But I told my dad I'm taking my donkey to college.
Well, this is a good segue. So how did this guy get the most beautiful cheerleader in the college? I've seen the picture of you on the donkey.
Oh.
And it's Susie, right? He's the only one that calls you Sue?
Yes, okay. His sister Sue. So I don't know why he calls me Sue.
I don't know why.
He's the only one that does. Well, I'm really Susie, but everybody calls me Susie.
In Tennessee, we had pigs, horses, everything on our farm. And I don't know if she took this the wrong way, but when you call a pig, you go, "Sue, Sue," like this, real loud. That's how you call it. Ask anybody who has pigs.
Yeah.
I did not mean to yell at Sue.
No, I don't know why you do, but yeah, well, Sue, you're the only one.
I don't know why I do that, because that's how I call pigs. I'm going to start to do this.
And you almost doomed her to living on a pig farm for the rest of her life. But I don't want to get sidetracked. How did it get you in college?
That's true. You know, it's funny. Oh. Just
in college,
tiny little things that happen along the way could completely change your destiny. Mm-hmm. And that is really very true. We could be on, which would have been great too, because I like farming and gardening, so that would.
But you weren't. We'll finish this part then. You weren't thrilled with the prospect of living on a pig farm outside of Knoxville along a creek, correct?
Well, it was in the middle of nowhere, and I loved farming. If it had just been an hour closer to Knoxville, it would have been great.
But to tell how you
but
met
it,
me,
it, truly, it was in the middle of nowhere. It was in Greenback, Tennessee, and in those days my big deal was if I got to play tennis, and there wouldn't have been any tennis around there.
So how did I meet you, Dusky and Sue?
Yeah, how did he get you?
Oh, well, it's
cheerleader, all that stuff, big old glasses, 220 pounds.
You know what?
And you had a boyfriend, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to hear that. My boyfriend was love at first sight. You know, it was one of those romantic things. Wow. He's walking in a dance. He was sitting on the table. He looked so cool. And so Jack became my best friend. And my oldest brother, Dave, had has a great sense of humor. And Jack was like that. So he was my best friend, but also like a brother. There was nothing romantic at all. And
but he was in love with you already.
No, because he had a girlfriend.
Trying my best. He was so excited
to show me or have me meet his girlfriend when she came to Muskingum to visit him. And I just thought that was really great, and I was so happy for him that he had this really cute girlfriend.
He just wanted to prove to you that he could get a girl, so he could get you next. Yeah. I mean,
anyway,
he's smart.
My boyfriend ended up, which never happens. I don't know how that happened, but he was a sophomore, and after the first semester of his sophomore year, he flunked out, and
that's the other guy, not me.
Right, I got it.
Jeez.
And meanwhile, Jack's girlfriend was cheating on him, and he found out, so they broke up. Anyway, the guy that I'm, madly in love with ends up writing these really, gushy letters, and it just didn't turn me on at all. I just was like,
so you dumped him, just tell him the truth.
Yeah, so anyway, I wrote him a Dear John letter, and that was the end of that. And Jack and I just started going to different school functions again as best friends, and he sent me, I'll never forget, you sent me a picture of you and your donkey at Christmas time. Yeah. And I'm like, I said, what? Oh, Dad, look at this cute picture. It's from my best friend at Muskingum. And my dad goes, oh, I bet there's more to it than that. I said, oh, for heaven's sake, Dad, no, he's just a
four-eyed, 220-pound pig meat.
And it's so funny because literally, I mean, there was just no romantic feeling there, but...
So anyway, you like me.
Well, the funny thing is,
sounds like I'm a freaking.
Well, it, yeah.
I'm not creepy. I'm just
not creepy. I mean, it just so we ended up going to Columbus to see my sister-in-law's sister that was going to Ohio State. We went with another couple, and still we're just best friends. And we went to the North Heidelberg, and we were dancing, and that night you looked really cute. You weren't wearing two different plaids that don't match.
Oh, you know what? Because I'm in Tennessee. I don't understand how to...
No,
you told me I could wear a plaid shirt and plaid pants at the same time. You said it looks ridiculous.
Anyway.
That's what she told me in the room. And I didn't know what to do.
Anyway, he looked really cute.
I had white socks
on.
You
all of a sudden, it was a slow dance, and we started dancing a slow dance.
Yes, because I can't fast dance.
Then you looked down at me and you kissed me, and our first kiss.
I was going to ask.
On your cheek, Sue. On your cheek.
I don't remember.
I do.
I
and tell him about my glasses, Sue.
No, see, he makes that part.
No, I don't, Sue. Okay.
No,
He makes stuff up sometimes?
Yes, he does.
I can't imagine.
He twists stories, so and I don't contradict him.
Tell the story.
But he told me, I think this is, you have to understand, he had this sense of humor, right? So we would clown around, and so actually now we are dating, and he told me, he had these really thick glasses, and he told me, this is terrible. He told me that his girlfriend one time looked at, was it Robin? I looked.
That was only 14. So then,
anyway, he said his girlfriend, when he kissed her,
Tennessee,
looked, opened her eyes, and saw his glasses, and she said, it's like looking at the bottom of two Coke bottles.
Yeah, what do you think?
So
you
at
to
this
me?
Point.
He told me.
What did he tell
me?
That's mean. That's just mean.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's terrible.
It's horrible. But so now, and at this point, I think we're engaged. And I mean, this isn't like right away. We're engaged. And so Jack kisses me. And I opened up my eyes and I said, oh my gosh. I said, that girlfriend of yours is right. It is like looking in the bottom of two Coke bottles.
She starts laughing.
It was. It was. Oh. It was. But that's a cherry. But the way he tells it, it sounds like I'm so mean. But we would clown around like that. So
because anyway. I'm going to keep moving.
Oh, and I would use his donkey all the time in pep rallies.
Well, I saw a very iconic photo of you on the donkey in some kind of parade, coming down the street.
Downtown New Concord?
Yeah, that would have been to an entrance to a football game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you were a senior when you got married?
Yes.
Okay. And Jack, were you a senior? Were you in the same?
He graduated.
We were
the same class, but his dad said we couldn't get married until he graduated.
That's a key right there.
He went to summer school and graduated in December. I never wanted to be a December bride. I always wanted to be a June bride. I don't know why.
Why? Because everybody was trying to date you and everything, so I had to jump into it. I know what I had to do.
Anyway.
I knew I had to get in there right now.
And he graduated in December, and that's why we got married December the 20th. And then I got pregnant on my honeymoon, and I was a phys ed major. So in May or June, when my graduation was, I was in a leotard at 5 months pregnant doing my gymnastics routine.
One story.
Our first child came 9 months, 9 days later.
You said 9-7, but all right, good.
He always
I'm trust
gets
you.
The date wrong.
I'm sorry.
So, one
we
story.
We got married on the 20th. She's born September 29th.
Okay.
Go ahead. That's 9 days.
So, one story I know I'm going to have to condense almost everything I talked about with Jack, but he told us, he took us through for probably 25 minutes from the time right after you were married all the way through for the next 6 or 7 days. And it's amazing. And he kept saying, well, there's no way she got pregnant that night. There's no way she got pregnant that night because he kept messing everything up. Now, we don't have time for you to go through every single night, but give me your what you remember about him going to get a burger and hanging out with his buddies and drinking and coming back late and then taking to his family's place and taking you down to his grandmother's place and his buddies are waiting there.
Oh,
and
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, we
that's
went
not
through.
Exaggerated.
Okay, I believe. Well, his people were there to verify all this. So what are you thinking?
I would tell you stuff that I wouldn't want you to write because seriously, I always say I shouldn't say that.
No, go ahead, say it.
I always say that if I had, I mean, before you get married, I shouldn't even go there, but before you get married, everything is flowers and fluff. I mean, you never forget Valentine's Day.
Okay, I did, Sue. I was,
all of that stuff.
I'm
and
sorry.
Then all of a sudden, Sue, you get married and things change.
Yeah.
Sue. Yep.
When I was a little girl, my aunt Hulda had pictures of Cypress Gardens.
Yep.
And I always dreamed about going to Cypress Gardens. And if I could have traded my honeymoon for, it was a month long because we had that interim period before I had to go back to school and a lot of people were going to Europe on trips and things like that. Well, we got married, so this was our honeymoon period and it was Christmas and all of that. I said, I would have given all of that away if I could have just had just even 3 or 4 or 5 days in a hotel on an island somewhere in the Caribbean.
Oh my gosh. You said I took you to Busch Gardens.
You did take me to Busch Gardens, and that was delightful.
And I took you down there to the
Lion Country Safari. But the one thing I really wanted to do was Cypress Gardens. Yeah. And he said we didn't have time for it.
Yeah.
And there weren't any flowers there.
And he's, oh, wow.
Yeah, that's true.
These stories are matching. So then he starts driving away.
I got in the back seat of the car. We're driving back to Muskingum now. And I said I would have signed a divorce paper at that point because I thought if my marriage is going to be like this, it's not going to work. Yeah, well, you know that's true. So I'm in the back of the car sulking. I am. This is terrifying.
He said this went on for hours.
This is not stuff you want to write about. And I'm in the back of the car, and I'm thinking, the marriage is over. It's over. And all of a sudden, the car stops. And Jack said, Sue, I want you to
get up
and take a look. And there's a sign saying Cypress Gardens.
She wouldn't get up. He saved the marriage.
Yeah.
So before he became Jungle Jack, this, because, you know, we talked about this on the road, you know, and he's conscientious about it, but like some people, oh, it's got to be a persona. He's a TV star now. He knows how to, you know, he's kind of an actor but the Jack you met, the sense of humor, that's there. He has this charm. People are drawn to him. That was there when he was 20 years old.
It was. And that's why we were best friends.
Sure.
Well, I must say, this has been said to me the last couple of years, real quickly, and it's real for me. It means a lot to me when people say, when I meet them, like last week, I did over 3,000 people in Tampa's last weekend on shows that I do around the country. And the greatest thing that said to me is, you know, you really are who you are, aren't you? You really are. You know, some people get on TV and do things, become another person, but I've always tried to stay who Jack Hanna was on a farm in Tennessee. I've never tried to do anything. I don't talk about TV. She'll tell you that. I don't talk about my shows. I just do what I'm asked to do. I've never been trained in television. Well,
we were there when he won his fifth Emmy.
We were there when he got the call. He won his fifth Emmy. And he acted like he got a call that it was going to rain today. Like he just glossed right over it. Was,
you know what? He's just really genuine, and I think that he would be that way anyway. But in the business, you do meet people that are unapproachable, and you really appreciate the people that aren't that way. Charlie Gibson was just so sweet and
Diane
so dear.
You're all people, like
yeah.
That.
So you really appreciate the people that aren't like that, which, you know, wonderful role models, but you would be that way anyway. You're extremely unaffected. And I have said before, the one thing that I always loved about Jack, that you could just feel it. I mean, obviously later in marriage, but what's so cool about Jack is that he would be comfortable in a tuxedo. I say at the White House, he's been at the White House, but not in a tuxedo. But I say he would be comfortable in a tuxedo at the White House, or he would be comfortable talking with the bums in the Bowery. And I don't know why. I'm from New Jersey, and it's probably not a good thing to say the bums in the Bowery, but the bottom
kind of
line
soft, you
is the bottom line is that because he's so unaffected and because he's so genuine, he's comfortable in any situation, and I love that.
So when you hear this, Julie,
yes.
So when you hear this story, and I'm sure you've heard it a whole bunch of times, and your entire family's life would have been different, you know, if you hadn't potentially almost died and ended up at the hospital in Columbus. So what do you think now as an adult with your own life? But what do you think when you first heard the story, when you were first told about it, when you were old enough to make it aware? And what do you think about it now? Like, what, how do you put yourself, you know, in your family's legacy?
It's funny, you know, I do hear the story a lot, And it's almost like I just, you know, I don't think of it so, think about it so much now that you've asked the question. It's just the way of life. But I'll tell you, when people say, oh, you know, you grew up with animals, and it's I don't know life any other way other than being raised very fortunate with my parents bringing home animals. I do remember, you know, being at St. Jude and being behind glass and, you know, my parents, but...
you can remember that. You do have memories.
You know, she remembers the bone arrows.
It was the only time that your dad choked up the entire time with us and all the things we talked about.
You know, and I used to, and I probably... too, I still get teared up, but I used to not be able to talk about it. But I do remember that. People say that you don't remember things a lot of times when you're little. But
and forgive me, he told me that he couldn't. You know, when the spinal taps were going on, he had to leave, and your mom would stay, but he had to he couldn't, which I totally understand because there was nothing he could do.
Yes, so. And you know, and I know that they do it differently today than what they did back then, but which, you know, is a good thing, but I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the treatment that I received back then with St. Jude. So I did make it, and obviously there's, you know, complications in life, but I am very blessed to have the family, my parents and my sisters that that I do, because I definitely won't be here.
The Columbus Zoo has done two things for me. They basically, Columbus Zoo has saved my daughter's life and given me the dream of a lifetime. That's what the Columbus Zoo has done for me personally, and my family will tell you the same thing, so I can't say more than that.
Jack has two marriages, one to the Columbus Zoo.
Two what?
Two marriages.
You see me walk to the door. Like, what is she talking about?
No.
But you almost have a heart attack.
Yes. Julie, is that true?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, two marriages. Columbus Zoo and his family.
And so, when
you've already told me you really haven't been jealous of the other marriage. We talked about that.
Yeah.